Gentlemen, good morning. May I have your attention, please? Good morning, everybody. I am François Chopinet, the General Manager. Quickly, I would like to introduce the members of my team. Leslie, who is our Director of Sales and Marketing.
Bonjour. Welcome.
Chiara, sales manager. Malia, who is moving fast, exit marketing officer. Jean-Marc, our maître d'hôtel. Jean-Claude is around, and the members of the service team. And I forgot Michel, my trainer. So welcome to this Provençal breakfast. And very quickly, I would like to take you through, I should say, 100 years of history. And I would like to add romantic history. So I see many ladies, so I'm sure you will enjoy. Concerning gentlemen, I will have also some nice stories. So, the purpose of this morning is of course to welcome you and to take you to an historical, I should say, trip. So, we are in 1885. I repeat, we are in 1885 in St. Petersburg in Russia. So, we are at the with the royal family of Russia, and there is a man who is Grand Duke Mikhail Mikhailovich. This man is the uncle of the Tsar, the King of Russia. And something happened in his life. He fell in love. Okay. It'd be great. Falling in love. I think you like this, I should say, introduction. So, he fell in love. But he fell in love with the granddaughter of Pushkin, the writer. And at that time, when you are a member of the royal family, you cannot get married with somebody who is not from the royal family. So the Grand Duke, he has only one choice, which is to go to the Tsar and ask him his authorization. So he went to see the Tsar, and he said, you know, your highness, I am in love, I want to get married. The Tsar told him two options. Option one, you can have a very discreet relationship, and the life will continue. You will stay in Russia, you will continue your life with us in St. Petersburg, and you will continue to get your income as a Grand Duke, your monthly income as a Grand Duke. Option two, you will get married, and within the next 30 days following your marriage, you will go for exile for the rest of your life. So the question is, what do you think the Grand Duke decided? Option one or option two? Usually, I ask ladies, what do you think? Option one or option two? Option one, option two.
Up to you.
You think of option
one?
So usually, I make your life simple. Usually, men, they take option one, and ladies, they take option two. So since we have a very romantic hero, he decided to go for option two. So he got married. And within the next 30 days, he left Russia forever. And he came to Cannes in 1886. So he arrived in Cannes, we are in 1886. And he discovered, I should say, a small fisherman village, which was launched by the British in 1834. But this man is a marketing man, a visionary man. And he came up with a motto, a slogan, because at that time, the world was very much influenced by the new sports invented by the British. I'm talking about golf, I'm talking about tennis, I'm talking about regatta sailing, I'm talking about hockey. Now, the thing is, when you are a marketing man, a visionary man, you are not sometimes, I should say, a man of logistics. So he created the golf, the first golf in France, in Mandelieu-la-Napoule, which is next to Cannes. This is a suburb of Cannes, in 1891. And he was very much impressed by the golf of St. Andrews in Scotland. So he replicated, in a way, the golf of St. Andrews in Scotland. And he created the first golf in Mandelieu-la-Napoule next to Cannes in 1891. So also, he invited, you know, this is maybe more for a gentleman. Do you like tennis?
Yeah.
You like tennis?
Good.
You have some good Brazilian players these days. Bertucci, so he invited the Rickshaw brothers, who were the Wimbledon winner in 1875. They won Wimbledon in double. At that time, double was more popular than single. brought these two guys in the end and said, I want you to help me to launch tennis, which was a new sport in Cannes. So two gentlemen, they moved around and they discovered the climate in Cannes will never make a grass court surviving. So the two brothers, they came back to the Grand Duke and they said, Your Highness, grass in Cannes, it will not work, it won't work. So the Grand Duke told them, look guys, you are British, you are very creative, find me a way. So the two poor guys, they went, you know, trying to find a solution, and they went to Valoris. Valoris is a small village next to Cannes, and in this village, at that time, there was, I should say, a sort of know-how, savoir-faire in terms of clay pots, potteries. They were craftsmen making clay pots. And they look at these guys making clay pots, putting them in the oven, you know, and sometimes when you get the pots, I should say, from the oven, you see some cracks, you know, on the pots. So whenever they see cracks, the craftsmen, they remove the pots and they put them on the side, you know, on the sort of broken pieces here. So they ask the craftsmen, you know, what do you do with the broken pots? They say, well, they are broken pots, you know, what can we do? Can we take them? Yes, you can. So they took, I should say, the broken pieces of clay pots. They crushed the pottery pieces. They found a piece of land in Cannes flat. They put the broken pieces of clay pots. They put a net. The first clay court was born in 1880. So that was the first tennis court in clay in Cannes. So we can say that clay tennis is born in Cannes. So by the way, this is a picture, the photo of the Grand Duke, his wife, and the three children. At the back, this is the Carlton. So going back to the Grand Duke, you realize that when you attract people to play golf, tennis, and so on, where are they going to stay? Where are they going to sleep? So he decided to build and finance the first hotel in Cannes, which was the Carlton in 1913. So as you can see, the first, I should say, hotel was half of what you can see now. And this part opened, this wing opened in 1911. Due to the ongoing success of the hotel, he decided to build an extension, which is this part, in 1912, and the hotel opened on the 22nd, 1913, because the Grand Duke, he wanted to celebrate Christmas in the new property, in the new Carlton. Can you push my office? Anyway, I'm moving fast. So the hotel opened in 1913. Unfortunately, the First World War started in 1914. Anyway, that was in a way bad luck at that time. And in 1922, we had in this hotel next door, in this Grand Salon meeting room, hall room, the first meeting of the League of Nations, which will become after the Second World War, United Nations. So we can say today that in 1922, United Nations are born at the Carlton. Seven countries attended: Germany, Italy, Japan, UK, Great Britain, US, Belgium, and France. Why Belgium? Because at that time Belgium was a huge, country in terms of colonies, you know, they were in Africa and so on. So that's why they were part of the city. So the meeting took place in 1922, and just outside this room, next to the facade, you have a plaque which is telling you about the story of the first meeting of the League of Nations, which will become later on United Nations. So it's an historical place. And we took a picture when General Secretary Kofi Annan was in charge. 1939, the first, I should say, film festival was ready to be launched in 1939. Unfortunately, the war, Second World War, happened, and it was of course cancelled, and General de Gaulle, after the Second World War, decided to give to the communists, which were part of the French resistance, I should say, a great cultural event, and that was, I should say, the birth of the film festival. Now, I would like to ask you a question. I will give you three worldwide events Soccer World Cup, Film Festival, and Olympic Games. In terms of journalist presence, what do you think is number one in terms of journalist presence among these three events? So, Soccer World Cup, Film Festival, Olympic Games. Who do you think is number one, number two, number three? Gold medal, silver medal, bronze medal.
Any other? Film Festival is number one, of course.
Yeah. Sorry?
Yeah.
Which one, sorry?
The Cannes Film Festival.
Cannes Film Festival, yeah, Festival sure. Number one.
Because I'm what you can ask us what
you want. Yeah. Yeah. Well, congratulations, good answer. I think we need to give a prize, you know, to this one. So the answer, in fact, is made of two winning responses. In London Olympic Games, more than 11 journalists attended the events. Soccer World Cup, 4,500. And Film Festival, 6,000. Soccer World Cup, why? Because the US media, they are not very much interested in soccer. It's not part of their sport culture. So, Olympic Games, number one. Number two, Film Festival. Number three, Soccer World Cup. But. Going back to our winner, Olympic Games, every 4 years. Soccer World Cup, every 4 years. Film Festival every year. So if you make an average over 4 years, he wins. Well done. Well done. By the way, a small anecdote. The Carlton was the first sponsor of the Film Festival. Six journalists attended. In 2012, 6,000. The Gallatineur, in a way, which was served for this first event in 1946, the menu was bouillabaisse, which is a fish soup. The main course was hachis parmentier, that was after the war. Hachis parmentier is mashed potatoes with meat. And the dessert, by the way, was lemon tart. On the table, you have exactly the same lemon tart, which was served in 1946. And which was also the preferred dessert of the Grand Duke, because at that time, Menton, next to Cannes, was the main area producer of lemons. So this is exactly the exact lemon tart of the Grand Duke, preferred dessert, and the dessert served in 1946 during the first gala dinner. Quickly, 1954, an event happened. It was the shooting of To Catch a Thief with Grace Kelly. The film director was Hitchcock. By the way, he lost 8 kilos before the shooting because he wanted to enjoy the food in France. So, two main actors, Grace Kelly and Cary Grant. Film director, Hitchcock. Now, during the shooting of the film, the Prince of Monaco, Rainier, came and Hitchcock introduced to the prince, Grace Kelly and Cary Grant. Grace Kelly was a beautiful woman. So the prince, again, another love story, fell in love. So, to make the story short, 1954, first meeting at the Carlton. 1955, she came back because she got an Oscar and she came to the film festival. Rainier in Monaco organized an official meeting. 1956, they got married. So, in a way, the Carlton changed, in a way, the destiny of the French Riviera with what happened in Monaco. Last but not least, in May 2010, Prince Albert, who is now the ruler of Monaco, inaugurated the Grace Kelly Suite on the seventh floor of the Carlton, and we are the only hotel in the French Riviera having a Grace Kelly Suite. Why? Because he knows that his mother was in a way influenced by, I should say, what happened at the Carlton with the shooting of To Catch a Thief. Terrible coincidence. In the film, there is, I should say, a sort of innovation, technical innovation. The film director, Hitchcock, he puts a camera on the tire of the car, okay, when they were on the Corniche. And this is exactly where Grace Kelly will die in a terrible car accident in 1986.
Two. 82.
Thank you for correcting. 1982. No link with, unfortunately, this tragical incident. The hotel became part of the Intercontinental family. 2011, we had the G20 in November. So I would like to tell you a small story where we had the pre-visit with the ambassador of US who came for the visit of President Obama. So he came to visit the hotel. I took him, you know, along, I should say, the public areas of the hotel, and I said, you know, Your Excellency, in 1922, we had the first meeting of the League of Nations, blah, 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 blah. So, and I said, we had, you know, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Harvey, who was the representative of US. So he stopped me. He said, what? Do you know where the Minister Harvey used to stay in 1922? I said, yes. Harvey used to stay in suite 523. He said, look, President Obama will stay in suite 523. So sometimes it's interesting to see the link between the past and the recent present. So we had many head of states, of course, President Obama. I see some Italian friends. We had the condottiere Berlusconi. And I said, by the way, I have an interesting story, but Malia is very shy, so she's not going to tell you publicly, but Malia and condottiere Berlusconi, they had, I should say, an interesting meeting. We are between friends, you know? We are between friends. Okay. So of course, after all this historical background, which is part of our DNA, 2013 will be the celebration of our 100 years. So we decided, you know, it was a team exercise, to celebrate the 100 years with a strong theme, which is the five senses. So I'm not going to give you all the activities because, I mean, it's very long, but as an example, we created, I should say, what we call an ambiance perfume, which will be, by the way, given to you after the breakfast. And it has been made by Molinar, which is one of the main perfumer in Grasse, which is the capital of perfume in this specific area. And this perfume, in a way, is telling you the story of the hotel. It talks about the preferred, you know, dessert of the Grand Duke, lemon. So lemon is part of the perfume anyway. So when you smell this atmosphere perfume, you can smell the history of this hotel. Story.